first reading of Scripture today can be found on page 560, and it comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 through 16 and 19 through 21. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Joab, son of Nebshai, king over Israel, and anoint Aisha, son of Zeruiah, and from Abel, son of Zeruiah, from Abel, Moloha, to succeed you as prophet." So Elijah went from there and found Aisha, son of Zeruiah. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Aisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Aisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment, so cooked the meat, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. Our epistle reading today is found on page 1815 and comes from Galatians chapter 5. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedoms to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." The gospel reading today is found on page 1611, comes from Luke chapter 5. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent his messengers on ahead, went into the Samaritan village, to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit to service in the kingdom of God. This concludes the reading of our scriptures today.
In this morning's gospel reading from Luke, Jesus encounters three volunteers who are eager to swear allegiance and follow him, but who have certain conditions. They figure that they were ready to follow Jesus, and they seem quite confident because they have little idea of the challenges disciples face. Jesus doesn't exactly make things easy for them. He's not as accommodating as we might expect. If we were recruiting these three, we probably would have accepted them and their excuses. But Jesus does not reject them. He confronts their excuses, and in so doing, he helps them and us to understand the challenges of true discipleship, which is no casual endeavor. The first person sounds ready, but he doesn't have an obvious excuse. But apparently he hasn't thought things through. Jesus knows the follower's heart. He cautions the potential follower that the path of discipleship isn't necessarily a comfortable or predictable one. Would this eager volunteer follow Jesus to Jerusalem, knowing that his teacher's death was certain? Jesus wants to prepare his followers for the difficult days that lie ahead. What he's saying, in effect, is, are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best hotels in town. Normally, being a disciple of a learned teacher means becoming a student. While school is for some an unpleasant prospect, for many it is seen as a great opportunity. They're motivated by a love of learning and a desire for self-improvement. There's nothing wrong with enrolling in a school, but Jesus warns that he's not your typical teacher. He's more like a prophet. And they live hazardous lives. Signing up with Jesus isn't like taking up a hobby. It's a class. They involve hardships. A risky business. The only one of the 12 disciples to die a natural death of old age was John, and he was banished to the Greek Isle of Patmos. The rest were martyrs. We need to enter Christ's service with our eyes open. And in the military and in the service of Christ, all we can count on is uncertainty and God's sovereignty. Jesus puts the first volunteer's commitment to the test. He tells them, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Foxes and birds are wild animals not generally cared for by people. Yet God cares for them. God will take care of us, but not in ways that we might expect. Jesus can't guarantee we'll always be comfortable when we follow him. When we give our lives to him, we die to self. We are crucified with Christ, as told in the book of Galatians. Back in verse 2, Jesus directs his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick and take nothing for their journey. He has a mission for us. When we learn what he wants from us, we either obey or go our own way. Even the strongest desires need to be subordinated to the purpose of God. We surrender to his will.
A second potential follower needs to bury his father. On the surface, his request seems quite acceptable, and Jesus' answer seems harsh. In the military, when soldiers' parents die, they're granted emergency leave. It's a very reasonable excuse. However, the father referred to here most likely was not dead yet, but elderly. Otherwise, this man wouldn't be talking to Jesus. He'd be at his funeral. Due to climate and custom, people in the Middle East were buried the day that they died. There were no funeral parlors or means to preserve the body. What's really being said is, I'll serve you when my father passes on, but I can't go until then. Jesus isn't saying we should neglect our parents, but he is stating that we should follow him, and this could take us far from home. Family ties are important, but not the most important thing in life. Some think Jesus is saying here, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. If we wait for ideal conditions to follow Jesus, we might never follow him. Jesus is telling this volunteer, first things first, your business is life, not death, and life is urgent. In the third encounter, we hear a similar request. I need to say goodbye to my family. Jesus isn't looking for a half-hearted service. He wants our top devotion. He deserves first place in our lives. Nothing should distract us from our higher calling. To say yes to God, we need to say no to ourselves and maybe even to others. He warns this wannabe, no procrastination, no backwards looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Seize the day. Jesus knew that if this fellow went back to his family to say goodbye, he'd be talked out of following him. Maybe he knew it as well. Jesus illustrates his point by referring to plowing. In Israel, the land is rugged and difficult to plow. To look back while working the land would lead to uneven rows. The task requires a focused eye on what lies ahead. To look back risks being thrown off course. How does this apply to us non-farmers? We're accountable for our own decisions and for how we use our time. Can you imagine someone saying, I'll visit people in the hospitals and prisons and nursing homes when I get to heaven and have the time. Then I'll tell people about Jesus and hand out Bibles to the lost. Now is the time. There are a lot of excuses from people as why they can't attend church. According to the message, the number one excuse is, I'm too busy. It isn't that people don't believe in God. God must not be important enough if you're too busy for God. Christianity is a matter of priorities. Paul urges the Colossian church that all things Christ might have preeminence, the supremacy, the first place in our lives. Jesus was often rejected, but notice that he doesn't reject anyone. Not even these three volunteers. But he does confront them and impresses upon them the seriousness of the life of faith. John Calvin noted, one's life is estimated according to its chief aim. Does Jesus have our all? Discipleship is a matter of making room for God so that he can live in us. Jesus is looking for focused commitment. When we choose to follow him, we submit our hopes and dreams to him. We have no plans of our own. We walk his way. Jesus isn't being harsh. He's pointing out how life of faith is a matter of putting God first. We need to count the cost of discipleship before committing ourselves to following Christ. This means we're not led by emotions or peer pressure, a desire to please our parents or any other motivation except the desire to live to please our Lord. Our Christianity can make a difference in others' lives if we allow it to be the ruling force in our own lives. Amen.